Every single one of those sites was instigated by Iran.
Louisiana lawmakers expected to vote today on an amendment that would make abortion in that state unconstitutional. And this is USA Radio News.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple. And no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Members of the U.S. military in Iraq remain on high alert after a rocket attack earlier today outside the embassy in Baghdad. No casualties were reported. The Trump administration did recently order U.S. diplomatic personnel out of Iraq because of concerns about heightened tensions with Iran. And on Twitter yesterday, the president wrote, quote, "If Iran wants to fight, that will be the official end of Iran." Mexico's President Andrés Manuel López Obrador says U.S. support for an economic development plan in Mexico and Central America is the best option for stemming the flow of immigrants into the United States. The United Nations Economic Commission for Latin America laying out a roadmap on Monday morning for a regional development plan, and the Mexican president says it's an advance towards a U.S. agreement with the region's governments. The U.S. and Mexico are discussing an arrangement under which the U.S. government would guarantee about $10 billion in development investments for Mexico and Central America. And were you among the tens of millions who watched the series finale of Game of Thrones last night? Because you might have noticed something out of place. Earlier in the series, a coffee cup showed up, and now it was a plastic water bottle that showed up during a scene in the finale of the HBO series. That water bottle only on screen for a brief moment, but it was quickly shared on social media. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Good afternoon. The weather today. Scattered showers and thunderstorms, mostly after 3 p.m. It'd be partly sunny with a high near 85. West winds around 15 miles an hour. And tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms before 8 p.m., mostly clear after with a low around 53. Tuesday, sunny with a high near 71. Northwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Tuesday night, it'll be mostly clear with a low around 47. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 74. And Wednesday night, a slight chance of showers, but it'll be mostly cloudy with a low around 53. Thursday, partly sunny with a high near 77. And Thursday night's a chance of showers before 8 p.m. And then after 8 p.m. to 2 a.m., thunderstorms and all that happy stuff. After that, it'll be mostly cloudy with a low around 60. And if you're looking to Friday, it says partly sunny, but who knows. This is the Hunterdon Medical Center's hour, compliments at Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we are very privileged today to have with us two very attractive young ladies. What are you laughing about?
Can't see us. Okay.
The first is Lindsay Miskowitz.
Correct.
Hey, I said it right. I broke it down into three little things there. And Lindsay is a coordinator for adolescent IOP, psychotherapist. And Sonia Gidwadi.
Correct.
Hey, all right. I'm getting better at this. As a coordinator for school-based youth services. And we're here today because of Mental Health Awareness Week. Is that mm-hmm. correct?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay. I have to ask, and maybe, Lindsay, you can explain. I know what IOP is,
right.
but a lot of people may not. So if you could just explain what adolescent IOP is, that would be great.
Sure, absolutely. So it's a step up from like traditional outpatient therapy where you might go see a counselor like once a week, once every other week for about an hour. Our age group is from 12 to 18, assuming the kids are still in like high school type of education, whether that's, you know, traditional school or GED, that kind of thing. And they're coming to us multiple times a week for a couple hours a day. So
for what purpose?
For approximately 8 weeks for mental health, for, varying issues, whether it's major anxiety, depression, mm-hmm. but typically our kids, they're having trouble functioning in at least like one area of their life.
Okay.
And it's based on medical necessity that they can be in that level of care.
Okay.
But it's basically a, you know, a step up. It's more intensive, hence the name.
Yeah. The lady I just had on, mm-hmm. she has youth go to her farm and they interact with the horses and they can talk to the horse, and obviously the horse isn't going to judge them
right.
or answer yeah. their answer. They can just talk to them and get it out, or, you know, if they don't feel like talking to their parents or
right.
whatever.
Right.
Which, you know, but it's a lot of it is for veterans with PTSD that don't mm-hmm. want to talk to their wives or mm-hmm. families or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So, a lot of our kids are coming with, like, a lot of anxiety. They may not want to go to school. They're really depressed, isolating, don't want to get out of bed, maybe having, you know, suicidal thoughts, maybe self-harm, things like that. So, but definitely needing somebody to talk to.
Right. All the nasty things in life, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's a shame when it's sad enough when adults have this, you know, but when kids have it or adolescents have it, it's really sad,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I don't know. It's
a lot of them just, they need help learning just how to cope, coping skills,
right.
you know.
How to get through it, yeah.
And I think, you know, we're taught from a very young age how to take care of our physical bodies. You know, a five-year-old knows to get a Band-Aid when they cut themselves, but they
right.
don't know what to do if they're rejected or
right.
kids don't want to play with them or things like that. And I
mm-hmm.
think, you know, they just need
right.
that direction.
All right, Sonia, you're up.
Hi.
you're a coordinator for the school-based youth services. Would you elaborate on that, like
yes.
what it is?
So we are lucky enough to get funding from the state of New Jersey as well as the county of Hunterdon to be out in 9 schools within the county. So the whole idea behind school-based is that students have accessible support, right, in their home school. We are very much supportive counseling. We're not doing clinical
mm-hmm.
therapy. So we'll work with students really for any reason. It can be learning support, you know, students struggling
right.
with time management, study skills, students with social concerns. But we also do see students with mental health issues,
right.
whether that be depression, anxiety. The benefit of being there in the school is obviously just the accessibility, like I
mm-hmm.
said,
right.
but also the ability, if we have permission, to coordinate with school staff, advocate for students, make sure their needs are being met, and also to do some assessment. And if they do need further right support
okay.
outside of school, doing our best to link students and families, whether it's to outpatient therapy, psychiatry, you know, perform care, you know, New Jersey's system of care for youth. So really, really to help make linkages
right.
that are needed.
Right.
We also work very much off of a wellness
okay.
model. So that's where some of the recreation socialization piece comes in. We do run a 6-week summer camp for students in the summer. And we do some just fun stuff, whether that's going to Dorney, you know, getting kids out
Right.
Hopefully away from the video games and the phones for a little bit. Getting students, you know, socializing.
But, you know, it's ironic because it's not only kids with the phones and stuff, you know.
It's adults, too.
I forget where I was driving, but there was like eight people on a bus stop, mm-hmm. okay? And they ranged in age from like maybe mid-20s to, you know, 70. Every one of them was, you know, on the
plugged
phone,
in.
You know,
yeah.
plugged in, piped, mm-hmm. You know, I say to my wife, I don't have that many people I want to talk to, communicate
right.
all day long with, mm-hmm. you know.
I very much enjoyed unplugging after school was over,
yeah,
right?
Right.
No, we're all definitely guilty of it. I've been at a dinner table with friends, and you look around, and everyone is on the cell phone. And mm-hmm.
It's the way it is. It's mm-hmm. this day and age, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, do you go around to different schools or?
So we get specific funding from the state of New Jersey to be at Hunterdon Central Regional
okay.
High School. So we have three counselors over there. So
okay.
pretty much Monday through Friday. There's at least two counselors there at all times. And then the county of Hunterdon has been gracious and I think really has, you know, embraced the idea of prevention. So the list of schools, Lindsay was kind to hand that to me. We are present in Califon Public
okay.
School, Delaware Township School, Hampton Public School, J.P. Case, Kingwood Township School, Milford Public School, as well as North and Voorhees, which
oh,
are
okay.
high schools.
Right.
So we're lucky enough to be at this point in nine schools throughout the county.
Yeah, so you're in all the high schools, basically, except...
We are in
three out of five
high schools.
Right. But
so,
that's good.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know that, and you are aware, that May is Mental Health Awareness mm-hmm. Month. And why do you think it's important for the public to recognize mental health? I know why I think it's important, but now just like hear your point of view.
I mean, I think it's part of who we are as a human being, you know, it's mind, spirit, body, right? And I think there's this stigma of,
oh yeah,
of mental health. So to bring awareness to it and just know that it's normal that you might at some point in your life need somebody to talk to,
right.
And to kind of work through problems that are unrelated to something that you can just fix medically for your body,
mm-hmm.
so
right.
to speak.
You know, it's amazing because I had, Governor's Cody's wife on the radio on Mental Health Matters. And she was saying how when she had breast cancer, mm-hmm. everybody was calling her, bringing food over and anything they could do to help or give mm-hmm. her rides, etc. Mm-hmm. When she had postpartum depression, nobody came.
Crickets.
Nobody called.
Right.
Nobody did anything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I attribute it like with we have four kids and my youngest son has mental health issues. He's schizophrenic. And if I would say, oh, gee, my youngest son has cancer, everybody would be, oh, Larry, that's so shame. You know,
right.
What can we do? Can we help you? I say, my son is paranoid schizophrenic. They all take three steps back and don't want to,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's catching,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's not, you know, but,
yeah, right.
and so, you know, I understand
yeah.
how making it aware
mm-hmm.
is a big deal.
Absolutely.
And it's a huge issue. Like,
right. Exactly.
So
you know,
yeah.
they've done surveys where they say 1 in 5
mm-hmm.
people
yeah.
are affected by it. They've done another survey for that lasted over 2 years in the survey, and they come up with 1 in 4.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not only in New Jersey. That's the country, the world. You know, that's all over.
And that's people willing to actually
exactly.
say it, right? So it
exactly.
could actually be even
and
more
I
than
did
that.
Look at some stats on the NAMI, you know, website, and
right.
You're right, 1 in 5, 1 in 4. You know, they're stating that 43.8 million adults experience mental illness in a given year. You know, 1 in 5 children aged 13 to 18 have or will have a serious mental health issue.
Right.
So this is not uncommon. You
no.
know? But the discussion of it is very uncommon.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, they're saying, you know, statistic-wise, you know, mental illness is 50% of lifetime cases of mental illness begin by age 14.
Yeah.
And 75% by age 24, right?
That's right.
We want to catch these things early. We want
yeah.
to be able to
like Lindsay's program does, teach skills, right, to manage
right.
stress, to manage your mood, you know, so that maybe these what could be instances mm-hmm. of mental right. health struggles don't turn into potentially a lifetime
and
of
I,
struggle.
I really think I've been involved with NAMI for 22 years now, mm-hmm. and I found that over the last couple of years, more of the quote-unquote stars or celebrities who come out and say they have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Dolly Parton yeah. just recently came out and said she suffers from depression.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Springsteen.
Mm-hmm. Demi Lovato.
Right. Britney Spears.
Yeah.
The one that amazes me is Buzz Aldrin. Here's a guy who walked on the moon.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Went through all the training, you know, to be an astronaut and suffers from major depression.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so you can have it and still go on with your life.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to stop you, you know, in your tracks.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you have to get help.
Right.
Yeah, you have to take medication. You know, my son has been considered by those at the hospital who know him a success story.
Mm-hmm.
He's in his own apartment for a little over 7 years in Flemington. He's worked a little over four years at BJ's. He volunteers one day a week at the hospital, and he takes his meds religiously.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
He's learned what he needs to do.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And, you know, every parent, when their child is born, oh, they have visions of what they're going to be like, you know. That's not necessarily going to happen. You
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes it does, yes, but a lot of times it doesn't. And when it doesn't, you've got to be there also as a parent to help,
right.
you know. And it's just, you know, it's sad, but that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Inpatient services. Hunterdon Healthcare offer for what are the inpatient services that they offer, I should say, for, you know, mental health problems.
Right. So our inpatient unit at the hospital is actually called 2 Central, and it's yeah. for ages 18 and up. It is a voluntary unit, so we don't get people that don't want to be there committed, sort of. And they can be there for mental health issues. You know, if they're basically a risk to themselves or others,
right.
they would qualify for inpatient hospitalization. They also do substance abuse detox for what I think is everything except for opiates.
Right.
But they do alcohol,
yeah,
benzodiazepine,
right.
diazepine.
Right. It's close enough.
Butcher that name. Yeah. Right. You know, barbitol, things like that.
Right, right.
So.
I know my son was in and out of 2 Central, you know,
okay. yep.
more times than we care to count.
Yep.
But, you know. It's just, it's good that there is something available.
Right.
Unfortunately, a lot of times it don't last long enough.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. You want to try to get them out of whatever that crisis looks like.
Right. Exactly.
But.
You know, but, you know, it's the way it is. It's better than not having anything. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
You know.
And I think inpatient mm-hmm. stays are meant to stabilize, right? And they're
right.
really specific to someone who may present a danger to themselves or others, but I hear what you're saying is that there's different levels of stability that we're looking
right.
for,
right?
You know, and I think that's hopefully where some of the other clinical, you know, what we
right.
would call in the profession levels of care can come into play.
Uh-huh.
As someone
right.
is maybe stepping down from an inpatient stay, there are, and I know we'll talk a little bit about that, but
right.
you know, day hospital programs and acute partial. Or intensive outpatients
right,
that can
right.
help with that that continued stabilizing.
And
right,
a lot of
goal.
Times from 2 Central, they may go to Princeton House or mm-hmm. Carrier Clinic or some other organization that,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
for a little further treatment time period, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, but there are different types of disorders. And, you know, what are the ones that you guys treat?
So I think, I mean, obviously the mood disorders, right? Anxiety, depression, bipolar disorder, acute distress, addictions, eating disorders, grief, the severe persistent mental
mm-hmm.
illnesses like
right.
schizophrenia.
Right.
I would say those are probably the main categories
right. Right.
Of what we see.
Do you see much cutting?
With the adolescents, I can't speak for the adult programs, but I do know for the adolescents, it's becoming more of a common issue, I would say.
Yeah, and working in the schools with youth, I would say we see a fair amount of self-injury.
Right.
And the self-injury can be you know, people think of the cutting, but it can also be burning.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, banging one's head.
Right.
Technically, you know, punching walls and, you know, dislocating your knuckles and things like that, you know, while some people may think of that as anger management in a sense, right, it's a form of self-injury.
Yes,
or even
is.
Other high-risk behaviors like driving too fast.
Right.
Don't, you know.
I know when, after I retired years ago, I worked at emergency services. Mm-hmm. And I'd be there on Saturdays from 8 to like 3. And one at a time from 11 to 12, I would go into 2 Central mm-hmm. and talk to the clients. And I was accepted, I think, because I've lived through it with my son. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people that were there at different points knew my son, you know. Mm-hmm. But this one young man said to me after, he says, "Can I talk to you?" I said, "Sure." So we went out on the little patio out there, and we were talking. And he says, "I got to show you something." And he takes off his shirt. From his wrist to his shoulder, on both arms, there wasn't a piece of skin that wasn't cut.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And anybody that knows me knows I don't have a trouble speaking. My mouth dropped open. I didn't know what to say. And I, you know, and I finally asked him, "Why do you do that?" You know, and he says, "Because I'd rather feel the pain on my arm. Uh-huh. It's less than the pain in my head from." And I said, "You know, and I know people cut. You know, I know that they do, and they mm-hmm. do other." You know, mm-hmm. things like you said, burn and whatever. Right. But it just was, that was the worst case I ever saw. You know?
But I've heard that explanation before from the kids too, right? Yeah. Like rather than feeling the emotional pain, I'd rather feel physical pain. And this kind of distracts me from that emotional pain.
Exactly.
Which they've been taught how to treat, right? You clean it out, put a Band-Aid on it.
Right. Kind of thing. Yeah. It's a shame though. Mm-hmm. We have to take a quick break. You're listening to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour, and we'll be right back.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Welcome back to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're very privileged to have with us today Lindsay Miskiewicz.
Nice.
I said it twice. Wow.
Two for two.
Yeah. And also Sonia Guwadi. Gidwani. Close. Okay. Well, one out of two. You know. That's 500 if I was playing baseball. You know, they pay me millions of dollars. You know,
those are good odds.
You know. All right. Now, we had talked about the different types of disorders that you treat.
Right.
Now, when you're in the schools, do the counselors help you, or are they a little, well, these people are here, you know?
Like the guidance counselors, you mean?
Yeah,
in the schools?
Okay. Right.
No, we have really good relationships with the schools. A lot of them have, specifically requested our service.
Okay.
So our job is really to work, if possible, alongside them or to supplement. You know, there are some schools that are smaller that may not have a guidance counselor
in the
building. Other schools do have a good amount of internal resources, so then we really look to them and ask them, you know, what type of, you know, students we should be working with if they're feeling overwhelmed, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we take referrals from any source. It can be teachers, guidance counselors, child study teams. Sometimes students will bring other students and introduce them to the program that way.
Right.
Students can refer themselves if they've heard about it or, you know, seen an advertisement or something. You know, sometimes we have posters up. I would say a good relationship with child study team, special services, guidance counselors. And, again, our goal is to really work with as many people kind of on the team, as you would say,
mm-hmm.
right,
mm-hmm.
to kind of address as many needs as possible.
Well, I know that Voorhees High School
mm-hmm.
is very good with programs and stuff.
Oh, yes, yes.
I know they have a mental health awareness day once mm-hmm. a year. They had the last 3 years, I think it was, and we've had a table there each time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
we were there.
Yeah. I saw it.
Yeah.
But you know about it.
No, but it is great.
It is.
It's great to let the kids
yeah.
know what resources
yeah.
are out there.
And you know, the thing, too, that I thought was kind of cool, both times, the last 2 years,
mm-hmm.
they had the cards.
Uh-huh.
Where the kids had to sign it, but you had they had to talk to you before you signed the card.
Right.
And I thought that was pretty cool,
yep.
you know, because mm-hmm. that way it's not just to sign the card,
right.
you know.
Right. They all wanted to be in the raffle at the end.
Right. Of course. I don't know what they gave them, the day off or what, but, you know,
Probably whatever it was,
you know, they wanted to be
free
in.
Free lunch.
You know. Yeah, right. That could be, yeah.
And I think it's great. I think it's another step at normalizing the topic.
Right.
You know?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So.
You know, and my youngest son has been epileptic since he's five, and I noticed that when we went to there, they had the big sign the day before they had Epilepsy Day. You know?
Oh, wow.
So I thought that was pretty cool, you
That's
know.
Great.
But now, are your services for adults also?
So definitely on an outpatient level.
Okay.
It's across the gamut. So kids, adolescents, adults, and then even older adults.
Like me.
I don't know how old you are, but you look good.
Thank you.
But yes, but we kind of service all the age ranges. I believe for school-based, it's probably just school-age kids.
School-based is right, yes.
Right.
School-aged kids. If someone is enrolled in school, even if they're beyond 18, you know, some students can stay up to the age of 21. As long as they're enrolled in a school that we provide service to, we can work with them.
Okay.
Community outreach in general, the department, community outreach within Hunterdon Behavioral Health, we do have, you know, programs for every age. You know, adolescents, adults, and, you know, and elderly as well that we can, mm-hmm. you know, we'll
right.
talk about. But,
right.
Yeah, but school-based specifically, school-aged.
Okay. Lindsay.
Yes.
Somebody says to you, I have this individual who should be in your program.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? Can you take us step by step through it?
What's the process, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. So, I mean, people can either call me directly or they can call what's called our intake office and schedule an intake.
Okay.
An initial intake, which is essentially like a biopsychosocial. And for people that don't know what that is, it's just getting all your information, your family history, medical history,
mm-hmm.
any mental health history, all of your information in one spot. And then we kind of assess which level of care does this client need. So a lot of times maybe the people are correct in that they do need the intensive outpatient level
right.
of care. let's just say maybe they don't need that level, we can always refer them to a lower level of care, which would be your traditional outpatient, you know, seeing a counselor once a week, once every other week.
Right.
If they need medication, we can link them to psych associates of Hunterdon, which is also under Hunterdon Healthcare for med management. But let's just say they, you know, do meet criteria and we want to bring them on board. Potentially right after the intake the next day, they could start our program, which is about an 8-week program. The kids, again, come about 4 days a week to start, 3 hours a day. It's all after school or in the evening. So, and then basically we kind of just tell them about the schedule, get them oriented, and have them start.
What is the average number that you have?
Like number of kids in the program at a time? Right. I would say on average between like 10 and 12 at a time.
Okay.
But actually through Medicaid, we can actually have like it's one therapist to five clients.
Okay.
So we have three staff members for our program. And so we basically tap out at 15.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's more than I thought.
It's a good size and it's a good group size.
Right.
It's smaller than some intensive outpatients, which is nice for some kids. Especially if they have social anxiety.
Yeah, right. Does the day hospital work with you, or is it
So day hospital's for older adults, like not older adults, but 18 and up, actually.
Okay.
So we don't work too closely, but let's say there's maybe somebody in day hospital who has a younger kid. They might refer our way. Or potentially once they age out of our program, we can always refer to day hospital if they need, you know, a higher level of care.
More, yeah.
Right. But we also have like the acute partial program, which is also an adult kind of intensive outpatient program. The difference between an IOP and a partial level is IOP is usually fewer hours a day. So for like acute partial, they're coming probably from like 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. kind of thing.
Is there a time limit for how long they can be in the program?
Yes. So at least for the IOP level, and I believe it works the same way for partial, you have to prove what's medically necessary through insurance, which behavioral health for our department, we accept most traditional insurance program plans. We also accept Medicaid, which is not always all that common. So that's added bonus, actually. But basically, a lot of times you have to do like what are called like periodic reviews with the insurance company just to say like this is kind of where the kid is.
Right.
Can we get more time?
Right.
And then it's based on that.
Right.
So
okay.
It all depends.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Sonia, when you go, do you personally go to the hospital? Do you personally go to the schools? Or?
I have a nice, I would say a nice division of labor within my job. I do three days where I'm doing administrative work because I'm a coordinator of the program.
Okay.
And then I do have 2 days where I'm in the school meeting with students directly. So where my other therapists, you know, are out in the schools at least 4 days a week. So it is a nice balance.
All right. Now, when they're out in the schools, is there a rotation that they do? Like, they go to Milford one day and wherever the next or whatever.
So Central being, you know, the largest high school in the county, we have three counselors over there, throughout the week. And I would say at least two at all times. Some of the smaller schools, just based on the need, again, that can be whether they already have guidance counselor staff or they don't.
Talking about grammar schools, though, too.
We're talking K to eight.
Right. Okay.
We have some, quite a few K to eight schools, and then the high school separately.
Right.
But based on the population, the number of students, based on the need that's being seen in that area, and then what internal resources they do or do not have, the county kind of assigns us an amount of time, right, that we're able to spend at that school. So some schools may have a counselor present 1 day a week, some two. Some of the bigger schools have a counselor who's assigned 4 days a week. Every school, I should say, has an assigned day or days where their specific counselor is there.
Okay. Now, the grammar schools, you get recommendations from various teachers or counselors or principal or whatever. I know you can't pinpoint it, but what is some of the things that they recommend a student to you for?
I would say pretty much the same type of reason for referrals that we're seeing on the high school level. You know, I mean, understandably, it's at a different developmental stage, but
right.
often anxiety and depression seem to be probably the highest, right, reasons for referral. You know, it can be social issues. I would say we definitely see a lot of social issues with the younger students. But again, we see a different type of social issue with the older students. But sometimes, you know, you get a lot of, you know, kids feeling excluded, rejected by the peers or, you know, or sometimes younger kids who don't know how to navigate, I guess, what we would call kind of social drama and feeling very stressed by that. And then sometimes just kids who maybe are struggling in the school setting, but maybe also struggling outside of school. You know, especially with the younger kids, the more participation we can have with the parents, right, in coming up with the goals that we're setting and what we're working on. So sometimes we'll hear from parents, you know, that maybe there's behavior at home that's kind of hard to manage.
Right.
Or kids who carry stress throughout school and go home and you know, kind of
loose at home. Yeah.
Right, kind of melt down at home, you know, due to the stress of the day.
But do you find that I've known from talking to many, many, many people over the years that with the economy the way it is, that there's a lot of people, parents, who both work,
mm-hmm.
and they leave early in the morning and they don't get home till 7, 8 o'clock or 6:30, 7 o'clock at night. So the teachers spend more time with the child than basically the parents do.
Absolutely.
So I know from NAMI, we try to enlighten the teachers what to look for.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do the same thing? Because, you know, let's face it, it's not everybody, no. But a lot of parents both work because they have to. And, you know, so they don't have the, you know, together time with the student.
Yeah, we do as much kind of community education sessions as possible. We do, and we'll really use any venue that is willing to kind of have us.
Right.
We've done things over at Central. You know, we've done things at the hospital. There's also the CIAC, the Children's Interagency Coordinating Committee, that a lot of, you know, mental health professionals are on, and we try to get information out to parents, you know, as well,
mm-hmm.
just whether it's how to talk to your child, right, how to help your child with these kind of stress management, coping skills,
right.
Trying to educate parents on what it's like to be a young person in 2019. You know, it's different. It's different than my generation, other generations. You know, the whole social media piece adds an element. So doing our best to get discussions going to help parents understand, you know, what youth may be dealing with, to do our best to teach them skills right. to help their youth. And then within the schools, doing our best to work with teachers, child study team, you know, to meet the needs of the student in the school setting. And then, you know, also doing what we can to reach out to parents and engage them that way.
Right.
Doing whether it's, you know, some family work or just some, you know, education with parents.
Lindsay, do you deal with addictions?
So in our program, minor addiction. So if they're, you know, experimenting with alcohol, marijuana, things like that, they do have to sign off that they will try to be clean and sober in our program, but we can do random urine drug screens on the kids to make sure that we're kind of holding them accountable and things like that,
right.
and address it in that capacity. But on the adult side, we do have addiction treatment services and the acute partial program and day hospital.
Right.
All can kind of address addictions as well.
Yeah. And unfortunately, that's growing too,
yep.
you know.
Yes. Yep.
But, you know, it's, I don't know, it's just,
And actually there's the opioid recovery program. Am I saying that right, Sonia?
Opioid overdose recovery program,
okay.
otherwise known as ORP. And
yeah, all these acronyms.
I know,
acronyms
are everywhere.
Yeah.
But you know, that is specifically for people who have
presented in the hospital with an overdose situation.
Okay.
But it's a wonderful program in that they will send peer support and there's recovery specialists, but they'll often send peer support directly to the emergency room to talk with someone,
right,
to engage
right,
with them,
right.
to talk with them about the options for treatment. And I think, you know, addiction is such a tough disease. But, you know, getting someone bedside in the emergency room can really help capture that small, maybe that window of time
right.
that you have to have that conversation, to plant some seeds, get, you know, resources into someone's hand.
I also know that our addiction counselors can do consultations like on 2 Central. So if somebody was hospitalized for detox and
right.
things like that,
right.
they do try to get them,
mm-hmm.
you know, linked if
right.
they're open and willing.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's always, I've always found that it's so much more for the person if the person they're talking to has either experienced it
mm-hmm.
or have someone in their family who's experienced
mm-hmm.
it
yeah.
and have gone through it, because you're not just talking from a book that you read,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're talking from experience.
Absolutely.
And people accept that, I think, a lot more
mm-hmm.
than... Yeah, not that they don't accept, you know,
right,
think, but if someone says, gee, you know, this happened to me and I did this, this, and this, and they say, oh, you did?
You've lived
you know,
through it.
You
right?
lived through it, you know, and, you know, how did you recover, or how did you do this, or how did you do that? I think it's a lot. It means a lot more.
Absolutely.
You know,
100%.
And so.
Yeah. And I think that there's something to be said for, you know, people in recovery or people who have, you know, really, you know, battled the disease. There's a certain thinking that goes along
mm-hmm.
with addiction, you know, so someone who kind of knows the thinking and, you know, can probably in some ways predict what your mind is doing, right, to talk
right.
yourself
right.
Into or out of treatment, or can really identify with that struggle.
Sure.
And knows the stigma, right?
And
oh, yeah.
Knows that no one that picks up a substance ever goes into it thinking, I want to become addicted to this.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like,
yeah.
You know.
So,
yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times, unfortunately, it's because they had some kind of an injury or whatever, and they gave them medication.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. to help with the pain, and then they just, you know, one mm-hmm. thing led to another, and it just goes off the, you know,
yep.
off the charts, you know.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's a shame, you
yeah,
know.
It is.
But, you know. If you get, Sonia, if you get mm-hmm. someone calling you, either a teacher or a counselor or whoever, and they say, you know, Joey is, you know, acting out and doing this and doing that and doing the other. Do you sit down individually with Joey, or not necessarily
mm-hmm.
you, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you were a counselor or somebody that from your staff
right.
sit down individually with the person?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And what do they do? Evaluate him then?
So,
or how
yeah.
does that work?
So for kids under the age of 16, we do reach out to explain the program to parents. There is a consent, right, to meet with a child on an ongoing basis and to work, you know, work with them on an ongoing basis.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with parental consent, we are able to sit down with youth and go through a very similar assessment that IOP would use, that biopsychosocial
okay.
that Lindsay had referenced. So
okay.
just looking at the presenting problem, you know, medical conditions, family history, and then working with the youth and hopefully the family on mm-hmm. goals.
Right.
So yes, and then meeting, you know, with the student one-on-one. Youth who are 16 and older now in the state of New Jersey, there's the Keystone Boys and Girls Club law, which says that 16 and up can consent to their own counseling.
Okay.
So in the school setting, you know, a 16-year-old can, you know, can engage in the supportive counseling process. Again, we still would do that assessment. We always encourage, you know, parent involvement. But at 16 or over, you know, that is the youth's mm-hmm. decision.
Okay.
But yes, always doing the assessment, working to set goals,
right,
right,
right.
with the youth that
right.
we're kind of working on, and then if you know if we're not the program that can
you know, solely provide that, linking to outside resources and working alongside those other resources.
But I think having access to that, like, during their regular school day is huge, because you don't have to worry about transportation. If you are, if the, you know, student is kind of scared to open up to their family or worried, they may not be open to it. You know, they can kind of just get that help on their own, which is tremendous.
And it's wonderful, actually. You know? We have to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunterd In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunterd In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Welcome back to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're very privileged to have with us today Lindsay Miskowitz.
Nice.
I said it four times, something like that. I'm going to kill Sonia's name, and I shouldn't.
You
want me to do it for you? Sonia Gidwani. Hey, I got it right.
There you go.
Two out of three. What do you know? All right. We were talking during the break, and you had mentioned
integration.
It's right.
Definitely an up-and-coming thing that Hunterdon Healthcare has started, which I think is amazing, is that they've now gotten behavioral health therapists right in your primary care office, in many of the primary care offices in the area.
Mm-hmm.
So basically when you go to see your healthcare provider just for a checkup, they're screening you for anxiety, depression, and can link you to a therapist that could see you for a couple sessions right in that office. So it's a great way to, again, reduce the stigma, to kind of help reduce that anxiety of seeing, you know, going somewhere else to have to see a therapist.
Right.
You can kind of see it right where you're comfortable.
And making those services as accessible, again, as possible.
Yeah,
it's true because, you know, some people don't like to go to a psychiatrist? No, I'm not crazy, you know.
Right.
And, you know, I get it, but I don't get it, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I get it from the standpoint that, you don't want to go and, you know, the label, you know, that's attached to it. But I don't get that you wouldn't want help, But a lot of people don't, you know. They don't want help because of the stigma that's attached to it, you know, so.
I think it's a great way for the primary care physicians to also ensure that somebody's getting the help that they need because they can kind of keep tabs on it closer when it's right in their office.
Yeah, exactly. So. Exactly. And that's just recent, though, right?
Yeah, I think in the last year or two.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. Now, if someone goes to Hunterdon Behavioral Health,
right,
what do they expect during this appointment?
What can they expect? Right.
Right.
So the first thing I want to say is it depends on what they're coming in for and what type of appointment, but there's actually a video in English and Spanish on the Hunterdon Healthcare website, which is the www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. Website, if you go to services and then behavioral health, there's actually a video that can kind of show you what to expect if you were to go through like the emergency room in a crisis type of situation.
Right.
So, you know, for anybody that's kind of concerned or just not sure what that process looks like, that would be a great place to start.
Right.
But otherwise, it depends. Like, I think if you're coming in for an intake, you know, you're coming into a nice, you know, inviting environment. You know, you'll check in. You will have to probably fill out some paperwork, you know, some of your personal information, right?
Paperwork.
Right. I would say come in like 30 minutes ahead of time just for some paperwork, but it's really not that bad. And then you'll see the provider that will kind of get your history, get all your information.
And I would say on average, I don't know what you think, Lindsay, but on average in that initial intake session is probably about an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Okay.
Just because it is a lot of information gathering, and then kind of talking about the plan moving forward.
And I know a lot of the clinicians sometimes want to give you some strategies or skills or tools you can use right from the start. So, you know, I think everybody tries to take their time and do a really thorough job and make sure that you feel like everything was heard.
Right.
So.
Right. And Hunterdon Behavioral Health does have what we call an access center, or really ultimately an intake center, which is at 908-788-6401. And then callers will hit prompt 4 for the access center. And they are, I believe, offering appointments within 5 days to do that intake process and then discuss with individuals what level of care they feel is appropriate and then starting any needed ongoing appointments.
Right.
And I know also that intensive family support services is involved with all of this also. Chris Maglione and I used to go way back.
Yeah.
And in fact, I ran into her in Clinton the other day, her and her husband. But NAMI recommends people to intensive family support. Intensive family support recommends people to NAMI. And we've got this, you know, working relationship.
Right.
And I know Angela for quite a while.
Yeah.
But, you know, who's now taken over for Chris.
Right.
And was it Cherie? Is it?
Cherie.
Yes.
I can't. Nice job.
Yeah. Yes. Tried to remember.
Exactly. Yeah.
But, yeah, they run a monthly support group at the restaurant that the first Wednesday of the month, and we've been going there for I don't know how long.
Oh, wonderful.
Years.
Yeah. Wonderful.
When it was down here in Flemington, and then, you know. So anyway.
I think the age range for that, if you have a child with a mental health illness, it's 17 and a half
and up.
And up.
So it doesn't matter if your child's 50, right?
Right.
Or as long as, 17 and a half or up. And, you know, Hunterdon Behavioral Health has a real commitment to a lot of these free community-based services. You know, the program you just mentioned, Intensive Family Support Services,
is totally
free to families.
Right. They can use it as many times as they want.
Exactly. A family member with a mental health issue. You know, there are other programs that go out into the community. There's the older adult program, which will go into the home, of older adults who may be dealing with some depression, wanting to maintain the level of functioning that they have. School-based services are free within the school setting, the self-help center. Hunterdon Behavioral Health has a real commitment to getting out there and getting information and support out there.
Well, ladies, I really appreciate you coming on, and time has flown by.
It really has. So much more we could talk about.
Yeah. Well, you know, you'll have to come back.
There you go.
You can always come back. You know, just get a hold of Jen, and she's always looking for guests. So, but this has been the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour, and we really appreciate you ladies coming. And we'll be here again next week, same time, same station, 3:00. And you know, if you need anything, reach out. You know, Hunterdon Medical Center, Behavioral Health.
Great,
thank you so much for having us.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
4 White House officials are refusing to testify in the House impeachment inquiry on Monday. House investigators are trying to wrap up the secret depositions this week. The impeachment inquiry into President Trump enters a new phase this month with expected public hearings. Meanwhile, Republican Senator from Tennessee, Marsha Blackburn, tells Fox News,
"When I talk with individuals about this, whether they're House members or Senate members, people realize there is nothing impeachable."
The FBI is teaming up with the National Institutes of Health to stop China from stealing U.S. intellectual property. All told, there are 160 individual cases reviewing the activities of scientists at some of the most prestigious institutions in the United States. The 3 House committees leading the impeachment inquiry into President Trump have started releasing transcripts of private depositions. This is USA Radio News.
An official message from Medicare.
It's open enrollment, Fred. Time to compare plans.
Oh, Alice, we're fine with what we have.
Well, that's what the Johnsons thought until they tried Medicare's new Plan Finder.
The Johnsons, huh?
We saved on our prescription costs.
And got extra benefits. Come on, Fred. Maybe we'll find something better.
Plans change every year. Use the new Plan Finder at Medicare.gov to compare health and drug plans. Open enrollment ends December 7th.
What do you know? Comparing plans really pays.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
A financial website has ranked the nation's cities by how veteran-friendly they are. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has some of the findings.
So it's just one measure of such a thing, but WalletHub has compared the 100 largest U.S. cities, looking at things like livability, affordability, and overall veteran friendliness to find the best and worst places for the nation's more than 19 million veterans to lay down their roots. Well, here you go. Detroit, Michigan, listed as the worst city in the nation for veterans to live. Other cities at the bottom 5 are Newark, New Jersey, Jersey City, New Jersey, Memphis, Tennessee, and Indianapolis, Indiana. Tampa, Florida is ranked as the best city in the nation for veterans.
President Trump is welcoming members of the Washington Nationals to the White House on Monday, this after their World Series win over the Houston Astros last week. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, the conservative warrior. My show War Now airs every day right here on USA Radio from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm also the star of the Wayne Allyn Root Show on Newsmax TV, reaching over 50 million homes. But my favorite role is speaker extraordinaire. I was opening speaker at many Donald Trump for President events. I speak at Republican, conservative, and college GOP events, and I'm available to be the star at your next event. Contact me to arrange for a Wayne Root keynote speech. Call toll-free 888-444-ROOT. That's 888-444-ROOT. Or email wayneroot@gmail.com.
2020 Democratic presidential candidate Marianne Williamson is officially the 3rd candidate to file for the New Hampshire primary. The 67-year-old self-help guru filed the official paperwork on Monday to get her name on the ballot next February. Speaking to supporters, Williamson said she's honored and grateful to make it to this point.
This is not right. This country should not, our government should not advocate first for short-term profits for a corporate aristocracy and only secondary for the health and the well-being of the American people.
The U.S. created 128,000 new jobs in October, and hiring was stronger than what many analysts had predicted. The economy has added an average of 156,000 new jobs over the past 6 months, down from a three-year peak of 232,000 at the start of the year. Joni Courtney is the chief marketing officer and workforce analyst for EmployBridge. She tells Fox Business there are jobs out there to be had.
There are job openings in so many sectors across the board at all levels. We see employers raising wages. It is really very difficult to find people right now to fill the positions. And then employers on the other side have the challenge of retaining their workers. So they are having to pay more, and certainly that impacts earnings as well. But this is really a good report and great revisions, too. Very, very positive.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
And I'm Georgine Trinkle.